On October 13th, 2011, an animal rescue group was tracking feral cats through a slightly wooded area in Bethany, Oklahoma, just a few miles outside of Oklahoma City. There, in the woods behind a grocery store, they stumbled upon a black duffel bag and a smaller laundry bag, which it turns out contained human remains. Specifically, the bags contained the dismembered remains of a young woman named Karina Saunders, a 19-year-old that had gone missing the week prior, who had been living a very complicated life in the months leading up to her violent death. A once promising young student, Karina had stumbled through substance abuse in her teenage years, and had recently been struggling to get her life back on track. She had just gone through rehab, but had maintained relationships with certain individuals that proved to be a hindrance. Over the next year or so, police would launch a lengthy investigation that began to pour through Karina's social media correspondence, her phone records, and even her personal relationships. They learned much about the life Karina had been living in the months before her death, which included drug use, rehab, and even potentially sex work, but all of it failed to find a definitive answer. In July of 2012, police arrested a pair of men for the murder of Karina Saunders, alleging that the two had been engaged in not only murder, but human trafficking. Over the next couple of years, investigators and prosecutors would weave a complicated and horrifying story, claiming that Karina had been murdered in front of other human trafficking victims in an effort to scare them into compliance. But these two suspects were later released from custody without any charges being filed against them. It turns out that the case had been based almost entirely on hearsay, and police really had no evidence whatsoever linking them to Karina's grisly death. Investigators now had to start back again from square one, and quite honestly, the case never really recovered. Several suspects from early on in the investigation continued to hog the spotlight. And when I originally released my episode about Karina back in January of this year, 2019, there did not seem to be much hope on the horizon for a resolution. In the nearly 1 year since, we've learned a bit more about some of the suspects at the heart of this story, and there finally seems to be a new push for answers. Kyle Savage was a young man that had known Karina for a couple of years prior to her death, and seemed to have been communicating with her on social media in the time period leading up to it. If you'll recall from my original episode detailing this case, this young man, Kyle, had sent text messages to Karina's loved ones which seemed incriminating, to say the least. On October 9th, 2011, the day after Karina was last seen alive, and just days before her remains were discovered in Bethany, Kyle had sent a threatening text message to Karina's cousin which read, quote, "I'm going to bury you next to Karina," unquote. These text messages were eventually shared with other members of Karina's family, and ultimately resulted in Karina's mother, Margie Queen, reporting the 19-year-old missing on October 10th. While Kyle was originally cleared after a police interview, suspicion has continued to circle around him as a suspect in Karina's case. On November 1st, 2019, just a month or so ago, it was announced that the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation, the OSBI, had requested the Facebook records of Kyle Savage. This would mean everything from messages he had sent and received, comments he had made, location information, etc. Basically, everything that Facebook had on Kyle Savage from the time period that Karina went missing and was ultimately murdered. This request was followed less than 2 weeks later, on November 14th, with a warrant filed that requested Kyle Savage's phone records between September 1st and October 31st of 2011. While the time period of this warrant seems pretty broad, the wording within it seems to hint at a much more complicated story than originally thought, which we've likely only seen the tip of publicly. In a KFOR article published last month, it is even revealed that Kyle Savage had messaged an acquaintance of his through Facebook, and when the other man accused Savage of killing Karina, Savage responded with a simple LOL. In these search warrants, it was also revealed that in the 2 months preceding her death, Karina Saunders had told her friends about a beating she had received on behalf of two men. a beating that was most likely linked to her alleged sex work or drug use. It is also hinted at in the search warrant that Karina was worried for her life prior to her disappearance and death, and seemed to have been sending messages to multiple men through social media, one of which was indeed Kyle Savage. Police have not really spoken about what this warrant means for the investigation. They maintain that this is just procedural, and indicates nothing more than a renewed push for answers. But the fact that investigators are still actively investigating some of the original persons of interest seems to hint at something more, as does their continued insistence that Karina's involvement in a drug or prostitution ring played a part in her death. Another one of the suspects that I discussed in my original episode was a man named Kenny Richards, who, at the time of Karina's death, was a 44-year-old with a history of drug offenses, who had been intimately involved with Karina herself. Rumors have long alleged that the two were involved in some kind of drug use or sex work, and Kenny is believed to have been one of the last people to have seen Karina alive. Just months after Karina died, in March of 2012, Kenny Richards was present when another young woman died. She was a dancer at an Oklahoma City strip club named Night Trips, and even though she had endured trauma before her death, police did not charge Kenny with any crime. Police seemed to drop all interest in Kenny Richards as a suspect in Karina's death until 2017. When their case against the two other suspects had dried up entirely. They then finally followed up on a tip that alleged Richards had buried some of Karina's belongings on his property inside of a septic tank. They did find some intriguing items in a dig there, but have not spoken about what exactly they were or whether or not they might have belonged to Karina. Well, in the years since, Kenny Richards has not exactly remained a model citizen. Just earlier this year, he was sentenced to more than 6 years in prison for numerous drug-related offenses, including trafficking in illegal drugs and acquiring proceeds from drug activity. This follows a similar 2013 sentence for possession of a controlled substance, despite not being charged with or even officially linked to Karina's disappearance or death. Kenny Richards' own actions have resulted in him spending the next several years behind bars. In the years since Karina's remains were found, her family has teamed up with a young filmmaker to create a documentary about her life and death. Karina's family is closely involved with the film, and I can only hope that the documentary covers more than her untimely end, but rather the tragic and complicated life that she lived beforehand. Meanwhile, my friend Lindsay, the creative mind behind the website The Chrysalis Chapters, has dedicated her entire website to Karina's story, and works diligently to highlight the stories of other unsolved and missing individuals. I really did learn a lot about Karina's story through Lindsay's original article, and I would highly encourage you all check out her work if you're interested in stories like this. Lindsay really does some outstanding work, and is a huge inspiration to myself and this show. Once again, her website is The Chrysalis Chapters, and I will include a link in the show notes of this episode, so please go check it out. I can only hope that some of these recent developments hint at more to come in this story, but until such a time, the tragic tale of Karina Saunders remains unresolved.